We're looking at the life of Abraham in the book of Genesis, and we're going to see that the decisions that Abraham made in the flesh turned out to bring nothing but trouble. Yet God is gracious, and He desires us to learn from these things. They have been written for our instruction that we would not crave evil things.
Thanks for joining us for this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And you know, Greg, before we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, satisfying the cravings of the flesh was all we knew. Not until coming to faith in Christ do we experience the conflict between the spirit and the flesh.
You know, Dave, dealing with that conflict successfully really is the pursuit of all genuine believers. So with that in mind, let's continue our study of the life of Abraham, where we can see him mature in his walk with God. If you have a Bible handy, grab it and let's turn to Genesis chapter 21, and we'll be looking at verses 8 through 21.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Well, before any one of us who has been saved here was saved, we functioned on a daily basis based on the flesh. And what do I mean by that? We function based on our own wisdom, desire, and understanding. And within that, within those strengths and abilities and wisdom, we walked that way. That's just the way we were, apart from a real relationship with the living God. Now, when Christ convicted us of our sin and was pleased to reveal His Son Jesus to us, the Savior, and we repented and believed in Him, we became new creations in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And yet each and every one of us has realized that we are still tempted to trust in and rely on our flesh. And certainly there are times where we fall and we do rely on our flesh and our own wisdom and strength and ability rather than obeying Christ and His Word. And as we begin to follow the Lord more and more and more, it seems like those areas in which we fall are more related to the areas in which His will is for us. We may be tempted to trust in Him concerning our families, concerning raising our kids, concerning doing ministry, whatever it might be. There are those temptations to rely on our own wisdom and ability, and sometimes we fall. Now, although we are according to the Spirit and have been born again, we certainly do at times function by the flesh, and when we do, only trouble results. You see, we're looking at the life of Abraham in the book of Genesis, and we're going to see that the decisions that Abraham made in the flesh turned out to bring nothing but trouble. Yet God is gracious, and He desires us to learn from these things. They have been written for our instruction that we would not crave evil things. So with this in mind, I want to ask the question, how are we believers to deal with our failures in the flesh, or to be kept from failing in the flesh or relying on the flesh? Today, we're going to learn from the consequences of trusting in our own wisdom, strength, and ability. Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 21. And we are continuing our look in the book of Genesis. We're moving along in the life of Abraham. And I want to bring us up to speed here concerning the context, because in these chapters, it's really important that we see God's faithfulness coming through from the beginning of Abraham's call in Ur of the Chaldees, all the way through to the point where he goes to be with the Lord. God was faithful in the life of Abraham, faithful, and within this we see His faithfulness to us. Now, as we've been looking at the book of Genesis, we've seen that Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is writing to those who are on the precipice of entering into the land, the Israelites. They are God's people, and it is written for them in a sense, but yet all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for us for reproof, correction, teaching, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. And with that in mind, we see that God had a perfect creation that was blessed. And then man fell into sin. And we came into the reality that God had a plan already, a redemptive plan to bring forth from Eve's seed the one who would crush Satan. But within that wonderful plan, redemptive plan, we saw the Lord would bring true salvation blessing. And within that, we came to the life of of Abraham, as we saw that the world had fallen very clearly, that man was in sin. And we saw the consequences of that and the proliferation of that. And within that, we came to God's plan being manifest in bringing forth through one man the seed which would ultimately come, Jesus Christ, who would save us from our sins. And in chapters 12 through 20 so far, we have seen the life of Abraham, a man who responded to the Lord's call, who believed the truth, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And we have seen the walk of faith, not perfect, but yet although growing. And within that, we've seen very important portions of Scripture concerning Abraham, the paradigm of faith. As the New Testament would reveal, he is the father of us all who believe. He is the paradigm of those who trust in Christ. If you remember, he was called out of his pagan lifestyle in the Ur of the Chaldeans. And he left not knowing where he was going. And he had stopped short in Haran. And there the Lord reiterated his tremendous promises that he would be a great nation, that he would bless him and make him a great nation and make him a blessing. And that those who blessed him would be blessed, those who cursed him would be cursed. And that in him all the nations would be blessed, that in his seed would come salvation, blessing for a sin-cursed world. And that seed is Jesus Christ, who came and died for our sins. And then you'll remember we saw in the end of chapter 12, Abram's temporal failure, where out of fear he went to Egypt because of a famine. And he called his beautiful wife his sister, which she was his half-sister, but he was being deceitful. And within that, you'll remember, in spite of Abraham's failure, God was faithful to deliver Abraham and Sarah out of that situation. But what came from that certainly affects us, what we'll see today. He obviously received servants from Pharaoh, and one of those servants was probably Hagar, the Egyptian maid. And then we came to chapter 13, where Abraham, after turning back to the Lord, had exhibited faith, where he trusted the Lord, and as he was blessed, and his herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen became multiplied, there was conflict, and Abraham just yielded, Lot, you go where you want to go, and I'll go where you don't go. And then the Lord God was faithful to Lot, even in his sin, as the Mesopotamian kings had come and taken Sodom and Gomorrah and those other cities. And Abraham came and delivered him and defeated those kings in chapter 14. And Abraham responded in the context of Melchizedek giving God the glory. God was the one who brought forth the victory. Came to chapter 15, where the Lord reassured Abraham not to fear, that from his own body would come the heir, and that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars of the heavens. And the Lord made an unconditional promise that he would possess the land. Yet there would be a delay of 400 years as the sin of the Amorite would become full. And then we saw in chapter 16, after 10 years in the land, we had what is significant to us today. We had the Hagar incident, where Abraham listened to the voice of his wife on this occasion and went into Sarah's maid trying to fulfill God's promise by his own flesh. And she conceived, and we have Ishmael. Then we came to chapter 17. Abraham is 99, and it's been a little over 13 years after the Hagar rendezvous. Ishmael is obviously 13. And the Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai, reassures Abraham and restores him and calls upon him to walk with a whole heart. And the reason why is he is going to establish the covenant that he made for him back in chapter 17. And he affirmed that covenant. And he also changed Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai's name to Sarah. And he made it clear that through Sarah would be the heir, not through Ishmael. And we saw that initially Abraham laughed. But yet we see in Romans 4 that from that point on, after the Lord explained to him, he did not waver in his faith. He believed that God could do the impossible and bring forth his promise in which he had said. And then we had the sign of the covenant, the seal or sign of the covenant, circumcision, and Abraham obeyed the Lord. And then we came to chapters 18 and 19, an incredible contrast between the life of Abraham, who walked with the Lord, and the life of Lot, who was walking in the context of his flesh and sin. We have the Lord specifically revealing that by that time next year, Sarah would have a son. And Sarah was listening through the tent door, and she laughed. And the Lord confronted her, as he shared with Abraham, is anything too impossible for God? And then the Lord revealed to Abraham, the one he was walking with, the reality of what he was going to do to Sodom And Abraham pleaded on the basis of righteousness. And we came to chapter 19 where we saw the tragic life of Lot, a man in whom God delivered from his destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, that destruction which would be a witness to those who would live ungodly thereafter, an example. And the Lord delivered Lot even in the midst of his sinfulness. And we see the end of Lot's life as he is in a cave, drunk, unknowingly fathering two wicked nations through his daughter's wickedness. And those nations would be Israel's continual and worst enemies. Then the last time we were in chapter 20, we saw Abraham, the paradigm of faith, falls again. Actually, it was the time before the last we saw Abraham in chapter 20, the paradigm of faith falls. As he goes down and he is concerned about the Philistine king, Abimelech, that he might kill him. So he says again, Sarah is my sister. And this time Abimelech calls him on that after some time has passed. And although Abraham was temporarily faithless, God was faithful. And we saw that we should not lean on our own understanding, that our sin affects other people, that we need to confess it right away and not give excuses. And then last week we saw so clearly that God is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his promises, and that he did accomplish his promise for Abraham and Sarah, bringing forth a child, a son, miraculously. We saw the demonstration of his power, and we saw their response of joy and obedience. And this leads us to what we'll see today. But I want to read up through what we saw last week because it really goes together with what we'll do today. So again, turn your Bibles to Genesis 21. Let's start in verse 1, and we'll look at the first 7 verses briefly and then go on to our passage. Then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said. Remember, we saw that last week. God was faithful to his word. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. He was faithful to his promises. So Sarah conceived, and this is in her old age, by the way, and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time which God had spoken. God was faithful to his word. And Abraham called the name of his son, who Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And remember, that name means laughter. God had said, you shall name him Isaac, right? And Abraham obeyed. Then Abraham circumcised his son when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham obeyed the Lord. Those who are truly of faith obey the Lord. It's an example. Yes, they fail, but they turn and confess and obey the Lord. And then we see, now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. Not at her, but with her. There's going to be joy. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. God was faithful to his promise, which he first began to reveal 25 years earlier. It took a long time for God to fulfill this promise in the life of Abraham and Sarah. And within that, we saw that God was making sure that they would understand that this was a child of the promise, not of the flesh. That it was because of his power and strength that he brought this forth, not because of their wisdom, understanding, or actions. And God does that in our lives. He brings us to the end of ourselves so that we will trust in the God who raises the dead. And so at this point, all is good. Things are good. And yet we're going to see, as a result of their past failures, some of these things will come back to haunt them and bring grief. So how are we to deal with our failures in the flesh? We're going to learn from the consequences of trusting in our own wisdom, strength, and ability. And now our passage, verse 8. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day Isaac was weaned. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne Abraham, mocking. Therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendants shall be named. And of the son of the maid I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant. Verse 14. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him about a bow shot away, for she said, "Do not let me see the boy die." And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin of wool with water, and gave the lad a drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and he lived in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Now, admittedly, as I've looked at this passage before, as you read through the Bible, and sometimes you don't have time to study, you read it, and you go, ooh, there's something in this passage that seems like, oh, how could Abraham just send his son away? Things like that arise in our hearts. How could he send him away with only those provisions? Why would a dad do that? Is this a righteous thing? Well, I believe we're going to see today, in light of the New Testament, which illumines the truth that we have here in this passage, that what Abraham did was absolutely what God would have him do. And that sometimes when we briefly read something, we don't have all the information that we need to make a correct judgment about the passage. And I believe as we look at this passage today, we're going to be able to, if we study it well, to make correct judgments concerning those issues that might concern us initially as we read the passage. Indeed, we're going to see today that this is a very important passage, that it is quoted in Romans chapter 9 and also in Galatians chapter 4, as we had read earlier. And those passages will help us, I believe, understand this rightly and understand the principles that God would have us learn rightly. So with that in mind, how can we deal with the failures of our flesh and learn not to fail again in those areas? The first thing we need to recognize is that the flesh and the spirit for a believer cannot coexist. It just doesn't happen. It can't. Verse 8, "And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day Isaac was weaned." So here, obviously, in context, he's speaking of Isaac, right? The one whom Abraham and Sarah initially laughed, right? His name means laughter, by the way. And that God had revealed that they would have a son in their old age, and we did see that God was faithful to his promise. He had turned their doubting laughter into joy. And if you'll remember, after initially laughing, Abraham believed. And last week we saw that Sarah had come along, and it's important to see that Sarah is following the Lord at this point. We're going to see that she had made mistakes before, but here she's following the Lord. Because there are a lot of things that are said about Sarah in this passage which I don't think are correct, and I think we'll see as we look rightly where she's really at. Remember Hebrews 11:11? "By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who promised." She believed the promise, and she considered him faithful who promised. She's believing the truth now concerning an heir that would come from Abraham and from her body. She believed it. And it's important to realize that as we move to this portion. So here we have this statement that the child grew and was weaned, and kids are weaned, you know, somewhere around 2 to 3 years, obviously, and I would put Abraham about 102-ish and Sarah at 92-ish and Ishmael about 16-ish years old. So things are great. Yet I believe we're going to see the ramifications of the decisions that were made earlier in their lives come forth and bring grief. Verse 9, "Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking." Uh-oh. Now, some translations say, even some older ones say playing, and they will take Sarah and say, "Well, Sarah must have been insanely jealous. She saw him playing." Well, that's really not what that word means, as we'll see. There's another translation. I think the ESV translates it laughing. That's a bad translation. It's an intensive form of the word Isaac, which means to mock at, or to laugh at, in a sense, in a mocking way. I think mocking is a good translation here. So here we see that Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. And who's that? That's Ishmael, right? Whom she bore to Abraham, mocking. And now he makes it clear who this one is. Verse 10, therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. Now it's really interesting here that Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit, shares it in this way. And I believe the language is very significant for us to understand this chapter. Notice what he says. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. It doesn't say Sarah saw Ishmael. Saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. And actually, Ishmael's not named by name in this entire chapter, which is quite interesting. She saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. That is how he is identified, whom she bore to Abraham. Significant. God wants us to understand that the following situation has to do with what happened between Hagar and Abraham. Hagar, the Egyptian who bore to Abraham this son. It has to do with that situation. And if you'll remember back in chapter 16, you can read it on your own time, that Abram, after living in the land for 10 years, we had this incident where Abram listened to the voice of his wife. By their own desire to fulfill God's will, they went forth, and Abraham went into Sarah's maid, Hagar, and she conceived and bore a son. We know from Galatians chapter 4, obviously, that this was a child of the flesh. This was a child, a product of the flesh. We'll see that in a minute. And do you remember that nothing but trouble came from this situation? Abram had sinned by listening to the voice of his wife rather than believing the truth of God. We have Sarah and Abraham leaning on their own understanding, trusting their own wisdom to try to accomplish God's will. Because of their sin, Hagar conceives, and thus she sins against Sarah, as we saw, despising her in her sight. Sarah sins in response and blames Abram for everything. Abraham sins in response and then subjugates his authority to his wife. And Sarai sins again, afflicting Hagar to the point that she would run away. There was a lot of sin that came out of this situation. But everything was good. Isaac was born. They were having a feast when he was weaned. Maybe he had some of that food, right? And then we see the situation here. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. This is significant. In the context, Ishmael is mocking Isaac. Take a look here at Galatians chapter 4. The New Testament gives us more insight into this mocking. And let me give you a little context as we go into this. Turn to Galatians 4. We're going to go back and forth in Galatians 4. But the Apostle Paul is very concerned about the Galatian church. They have been led astray by Judaizers. They were those who would come in and say, you got to add these things from the law to be right with the Lord. They had a different gospel, and they had a different sanctification that was not of God. And Paul confronted this different gospel, and he confronted their sanctification by the flesh.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the Ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Greg, without giving away too much, let's just say we laid some groundwork in examining the dynamics of the flesh versus the spirit in the life of the believer.
And indeed, this should whet the appetite of our listeners to tune into our next broadcast, where we're going to continue to learn about living in the flesh versus living in the spirit from the life of Abraham in the book of Genesis. We hope you'll make time to join us then.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.